Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
It all depends. You know, again, I think it's our job to, and it's my job, to make sure the reflection process is done the right way. And regardless of the timeline, we want to make sure that they're the right decisions.
Middays on the Score.
The Chicago Bears are remodeling their coaching rooms, and here to talk about all of it and figure out how things are going to be different or not is Kevin Fishbane. You follow him on Twitter at KFishbane, and he joins us on the Al Pamati Ford Hotline. Al Pamati Ford in Melrose Park. So we get the report today, Kevin, that Brad Childress is out. Matt Nagy brings Bill Lazor in. And how's this all work now?
You know, Dan, I think the best way to judge an offensive coordinator or any coaching hire is the gifts that I get on Twitter in response from Bears fans. And many of them were very underwhelming, or expressing a sentiment of underwhelming. But like, I don't know what anybody expected. You know, this is not a very alluring job. I'm not sure how many people were excited about coming to Chicago, presumably not to call plays, and working for a staff that's got it's under a lot of pressure for the season to perform well. The Childress news this morning was kind of interesting, because I think when all of this began 2 weeks ago, we wondered if maybe Brad Childress would be an option to be the offensive coordinator, what role he would have. And, you know, they bring in Juan Castillo, who worked with Childress in Philadelphia. So maybe this is Matt Nagy being like, I need help from guys that know my offense. Let's get the band back together. But then Childress leaves, and now you bring in Bill Lazor, who doesn't have a connection to Matt Nagy. So, you know, I think at a bare minimum, I think it's good to have somebody with NFL experience. He's been with a few teams. He's worked with average quarterbacks and gotten them to play okay. So if you're looking for positives, I think it's that.
I am looking for positives, because I can't get around the fact that the Bears hired a guy nobody's heard of to do work no one is going to see for an offense that no one really liked last year. Does Bill Lazor have connections to people that let you know where they're headed that mean, oh, now this guy's coming or this is going to change?
Well, if you want to play connect the dots with the free agent quarterbacks, you can. You know, the Bengals have a couple guys, or the Bengals teams he ran plays for have two quarterbacks who are going to be available, and Andy Dalton and AJ McCarron. past that. You know, I don't know, you know, you go to Matt Moore. He worked with in Miami. And Matt Moore knows the Chiefs offense as well. But that's not something that's going to, you know, get anybody excited. So, you know, the one interesting thing that I learned about Lazor yesterday, talking to our Bengals writers, you pointed me to a story that one of our kind of film gurus at The Athletic wrote prior to the 2018 season. He looked back at 2017 in Cincinnati and pointed out that the Bengals couldn't run the ball. They didn't have a great offensive line. So he incorporated a lot of RPOs, and he kind of showed how that really opened things up for Andy Dalton, opened things up for AJ Green. And I'm reading this thinking, struggling run game, poor offensive line, kind of sounds familiar. So, you know, I've already gotten people reminding me that we thought Mark Helfrich was going to be the RPO guy last year. And the Bears ended up really not using RPOs very much. I don't know if that was do you trust your quarterback to do it properly? Does the head coach just not want them? Or was just this team not good enough? But in terms of some kind of style or scheme, that's something that Lazor does. So maybe he is able to better incorporate that with an offense that just kind of has to try to find things that work for their quarterback this offseason.
I'm waiting to see also what the overall effect is on, for lack of a better term, the Mitch Trubisky coddling. That we know that they went out of their way to make him comfortable. This was a Mitch Trubisky support system built from the ground up in that room. That room was designed as a soft and cozy place for him. Does that change does it become a little more rigid in the way this works when it's more about your performance and not your draft status and not everything being designed for you, where it's a matter of, look, these are the tasks at hand and this is what we expect you to accomplish?
Yeah, Dan, well, I think the thing that's coming up that will change that automatically is whoever they bring in at quarterback. You know, if we're going to assume they bring in somebody that is a level above Chase Daniel or multiple levels above him and someone who's younger and someone that actually makes Mitch look over his shoulder a little bit, I think you would get that naturally. Now, as it pertains to the offensive coordinator, you know, some people talked about Mike Kafka as an option, doing the Nagy, Andy Reid, connect the dots, kind of a young up-and-comer. I think a hire like that might have gone to what you're kind of saying, the coddling, because Kafka's a younger guy. He's, you know, worked with quarterbacks predominantly. That's all he's done in the NFL, has been a quarterbacks coach. He was a quality control coach first. But that would be like, okay, let's bring in another young quarterback guy. He'll work with Dave Ragone. They'll both work with Mitch Trubisky, and we'll get this right. Bringing in someone like Lazor, who, yes, his background is in quarterbacks, but he's been in the league longer. He's been a coordinator, so he's been a play caller. He's had to work with all aspects of the offense. Maybe that is part of that, not building everything just around making sure Trubisky's comfortable. Maybe you bring someone now who says, hey, look, I've worked with this guy, this guy, this guy. I've worked with all these different offenses, so I'm going to be able to bring different perspectives to this whole thing.
I know you touched on it a second ago when Dan asked the question, but I want to go back to it. Can you give us a more full account of Brad Childress's responsibilities, whether it be game day or through the week or what have you? Like, what would you say he did here?
Well, one of the things that I saw in practice was he seemed to run some of the no huddle stuff that they would do at the end of practice when they were doing some of the team drills. It was Childress that was kind of barking out orders and running the show and manning the clock and kind of organizing the whole structure of the end of team drills, no huddle system. Now, does that mean that was something he was maybe in charge of, their up-tempo stuff? I'm not sure. That's just something that I was actually able to see, was his role in that realm of practice. In terms of what he did on game days, that I'm not sure. We actually weren't allowed to talk to Childress throughout the season. We only were able to interview him one time, which was last May. Yeah, I know.
That's so weird.
Yeah, that I believe was a Matt Nagy directive. But that only guys with kind of these official position coach titles, so like none of the quality control or kind of special assistant people are available to us. That's another conversation for another day. But I bring that up because it's not like we were able to ask Childress weekly, hey, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing on game day? When we actually talked to him the one time, a lot of it was about the AAF collapsing because he went there, what he liked about joining Matt Nagy. So we didn't get into the weeds with that. And frankly, guys, I don't even have a good answer to that question about Mark Helfrich, because whenever we talked about it, it was a lot of kind of vague stuff. And then it comes out after he's fired that he had a big role in the run game. And, you know, it's not like he ever told us that. I'm not disputing that per se, but, you know, there's some messaging going on there when Helfrich is gone. And then it comes up that he's, you know, had a big role in trying to kind of draw up plays for the run game. And that's why I would expect whatever Mark Helfrich's responsibilities were, I would just imagine that Bill Lazor is going to have a lot different responsibilities. That part of Matt Nagy's job this offseason is going to be reworking that offensive coordinator role. How can he make Bill Lazor help this offense maybe in a different way than Mark Helfrich? I would still expect him to be up in the booth, maybe just gets a perspective from up there of the whole field, and that way he's able to call things down that he sees in the defense of Nagy. Another thing, and I think Brad Biggs brought this up earlier in the week, the idea of maybe a run game pass game situation where maybe Lazor's pass game and Juan Castillo, the offensive line coach, is run game. Like, those are actual titles or actual things Nagy tells us. I'm not sure, because again, we were never told during the season that, hey, Mark Helfrich and Harry Hiestand are our run game guys. That just kind of started to come out after the firings last week.
Talking with Kevin Fishbane. He's on the Bears beat. It's the Bernstein and McKnight show here on The Score. Kevin, how should Bears fans kind of digest the fact that all of the coaching hires on the offensive side of the ball are guys who were not employed in the NFL last season?
I think the Bears spin to that, Connor, and certainly from those guys, is going to be, hey, I got to step away from the NFL for a year and really gain all this perspective.
Super.
And was able to do more research and see things, and now I have a fresh mind to help you out, you know, now that I've had a year away while I was probably getting paid from whatever team fired me the previous year. That would be that perspective. And you know, maybe there's some validity to that. You know, I guess Lazor was working with Penn State as a consultant. So, you know, can he grab things from being around the college game for a year that he can help incorporate with the Bears? But it is an interesting trend, right? That these are guys that, you know, now they were, some of them were in roles where the whole staff got fired. Like that was the situation that Lazor was in, or maybe just a couple of position coaches got fired. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing that they're probably going to lean on is, hey, maybe it's a different perspective, or maybe these are the only guys that wanted to work here. That we don't know. I'm always in the line of thinking, guys, with this stuff is, if you don't have a job, like, you're going to want the job with, I find it hard to believe that someone who's wants to be an offensive coordinator is like, I don't know if I want to be the Bears offensive coordinator. I'm going to wait and see if someone else is going to be an offensive coordinator job, as it pertains to some of these guys who've gotten these gigs. So I will say what is kind of interesting is that, you know, we talked earlier, Lazor did not work with Matt Nagy. Clancy Barone has never worked with Matt Nagy, the new tight ends coach. Obviously, Juan Castillo has. So, you know, when the Castillo hiring happened, I'm thinking, okay, here we go, 2009 Eagles. This is what we're going to start to see, trying to figure out who are some of the other guys from Eagles and Chiefs that can come in. But then Nagy did kind of go back outside to bring in these two other guys for tight ends and OC.
When Connor asked you about Brad Childress, he phrased it, what he does during the week and on game days, as separate things. And I'm glad he did, because I'm fascinated with this Bears team, the difference between non-game day responsibility and game day responsibility and what happens. I'm pretty sure the Bears have a completely representative NFL process when it comes to getting their offense ready to go. Installations, scout team, cards, everything that the teams do around this league, probably modeled after the Andy Reid system. But things don't work right on game day for whatever reason. And I'm not sure if it's communication. I don't know if that's entirely a Matt Nagy issue with just finding the next play instead of having the wherewithal to have a more understandable and rhythmic offense. Is there any way to learn about this stuff, about what could change? We're not privy to who's talking to whom, to how plays get called, to how these decisions get made. But I'm as interested in that day of game process and communication as much as I am the plays themselves.
Yeah, Dan, I am too. And I think it's something, you know, worth looking into this year, especially with the new offensive coordinator. And as I kind of alluded to, this idea that I'm just expecting Matt Nagy to change things, and they might not be able things that we can see, but maybe there's things that he can explain to us, like actual operations on game day. Maybe somebody else is in his ear when it comes to timeouts, or in his ear telling him about personnel on the field. Maybe it could be little changes like that, but you are right, there is some kind of gap on game day. And you know, as again, relating to Bill Lazor, having someone who's been a play caller in the league before, how does that help Matt Nagy? Maybe, you know, I still expect Nagy to call plays, but maybe Lazor can take something else off his plate because he's better accustomed to the flow of an NFL game from doing it before. Because I think that's something that Nagy struggled with, was just understanding the flow of games and getting, you know, too caught up in something here or something there that he would make a mistake in a call, whether it was throwing the challenge flag when he shouldn't have, or a play call that just wasn't at the right, that shouldn't have worked at that time or shouldn't have been called at that time. So I think all of these things are up for evaluation. And if the head coach is going to be honest with himself, he's got to make changes in terms of how that game day flow works. And I think, it's something worth learning about. You know, these coaches are often very vague about game day responsibilities, and I kind of understand where they're coming from, but I think I don't think it would hurt to kind of better explain and better detail out who does what, and especially after what happened last year, for Nagy to kind of tell us how he's going to change some of the things that happened on Sundays.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you there, and I'll be honest, this won't be a question. It'll be more like a cry for help from a guy who watches a lot of Bears games, so I apologize for that. But help me through this and let me know if I've got anything wrong here, Kevin. Because of the hires they've made on the offensive side of the ball, and really kind of no idea about what the system of offensive decision-making is, we are still at a point where the only thing that's going to set the course for the 2020 season is whatever quarterback ends up coming in to compete with Mitch. We're still just there, right? Nothing has really moved since the end of the season because that decision still looms.
And Connor, we're only 9 weeks away.
Oh, dear God.
So, but you're right. And that's why I kind of opened by saying, it for me, I knew I was just going to shrug at whoever they hired as the offensive coordinator. And that's no offense to Bill Lazor, who has a you know, pretty experienced resume. But Ryan Pace is still in charge of picking that quarterback. Matt Nagy, we assume, is still calling plays. And right now, Mitch Trubisky is still your starting quarterback and still the leading candidate to be the starting quarterback week one. Whoever they were going to hire to be the offensive coordinator was not going to change those three things. The only thing that could alter that, as you said, is the quarterback that they bring in and the caliber of quarterback he is. And then as we get to spring and summer, how these guys perform in practice.
Kevin, outstanding stuff.
Yeah,
there's so much room for us to speculate on this because they talk so infrequently and just leave us to try to read tea leaves here. So thanks for helping us do it.
All right. Take care, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.